Welcome in, Tiger fans. Another week of play-by-play. That's right, where we run down the latest goings-on at LSU Athletics. And it is a busy, busy time, and frankly, only going to get busier here over the next couple of days and weeks. Our producer, Harrison Valentine, and the illustrious Kent Lowe to my left, and I guess to your right. I don't know how that works. But Kent, whichever side you're on, it's great to see you again. We got a lot to cover. By the way, coming up, we're going to talk nutrition and athletics. Dr. Matt Frakes is going to join us. He's our special guest this week. But let's get going, Kent. Let's start with women's basketball. I know last week, a tough stretch there. Some challenges, some stumbles, so to speak. Then on Sunday, I mean, they took it out on the Florida Gators.
Wow.
And you know me, if there's a team you're going to take it out on, I'm all for taking it out on Florida. And that's exactly what Coach Mulkey and women's basketball did. 106 points, a school record in SEC play. That game was over from the word jump. But congratulations. The two losses they suffered against South Carolina and then Mississippi State drops them down to number 13 in the country. But, again, this is where coaches are so right when they say, you know, ranking is nice for people to talk about us and for us to be relevant in the sport, but it has nothing to do with what we do on the floor. And if LSU women's basketball puts together an effort like they did on Sunday, they're going to be hard to beat by anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that was just really an awesome performance. I mean, it was over early, and LSU scored often, and it was just a well-rounded effort by LSU, and that was great to see. Tough road game coming up Thursday night at Vanderbilt, and that'll be a good test for LSU in beautiful Memorial Gymnasium, and we'll see how that goes. And then pretty sure they're back home here again next Sunday for a contest.
Yeah, they'll take on Alabama.
Yep.
At home on Sunday, but I mean, Haley Van Lith, I mean, the stars all played, and you know, we're going to talk about men's basketball coming up. They had another big win for them on Saturday, but you know, it's when you see the great star power and the great talent that are assembled on this team. Watching a little bit on Sunday, it occurred to me that when everybody kind of finds their role and has a game that highlights their strengths, that's how good this LSU women's basketball team can be. And that's what we saw on Sunday. And again, it's much easier said than done to say, well, just go do that every game. But if they do, if they can replicate that or a facsimile thereof of what they did on Sunday, watch out, everybody else, for the rest of the way
exactly.
on the schedule. Now, men's basketball, as we said, women's basketball on the road at Vandy on Thursday. That's a late tip, 8 o'clock Central, and then back against Alabama at 3 o'clock in the Maravich Center on Sunday. Men's basketball on Saturday coming in three straight losses, really tough losses. A chance to win against A&M in that second meeting, let it slip away late. A buzzer beater short of winning on the road against a really good Georgia team, especially at home. And then the second half got away from them against Alabama and Tuscaloosa. They battled to six, a deficit of six at the half, played really well, I thought. But then Alabama just started raining threes, got some transition points, and they pulled away. And that's why Alabama's one of the teams atop the SEC. Arkansas coming in, and I love what Matt McMahon said. Because people said, well, Coach, they got a win over Missouri Wednesday night, one of the worst teams in the league. Now they're just 2-6. And Matt said, if you watch the last two games, the tough loss to Kentucky and the win over Missouri, you started to sense that Arkansas was figuring it out. They were without Devo Davis. They've been without Trevor Brazil, two of the guys they were counting on. And now some of these other guys were starting to find where they could help the team. And Matt said, that's what concerns me, because they've rebounded the ball better the last two games, something they had really not done. And I felt like, and I said this going into the game, if LSU can just absolutely take any confidence at all out of Arkansas and put any doubt in their mind early in this game, I think Arkansas will revert back to its tendencies. And credit to Matt and this team, they came out, got down 2-0 in the opening minutes of that game, and then after that, the route was on. It was really good to watch. And while they scored a ton of points, I still say defensively it was their best 40-minute game. They got after Arkansas from start to finish.
Well, it's kind of amazing that you look at this, Chris, this week, and all three evenings or afternoons, mornings, whatever, in the Maravich Center were pretty much done with early. I mean, and we'll talk about gymnastics, but I mean, women was done early. Men were down, as you said, 2-0, then scored the next 10 points. They had a double-digit lead with 13 minutes to go in the first half and never were under double digits the entire rest of the game. So offensively, just a tremendous performance. LSU in double-figure three-pointers for the fifth consecutive game, which is a school record. And, of course, Will Baker, 25 points, shot 80-plus percent from the field, hit 4 3-pointers. And Elias Sports Bureau came out with this stat. Will Baker is only the second SEC player, try to get this right, in the last 10 seasons to have 2 25-plus point games and shoot 80% or better from the field in that game in a season. Tulu Smith for Mississippi State did it in 22, I believe it was, but Will is only the second player in the last 10 seasons to do that. So that's pretty impressive. But overall, a great performance. Jalen Cook coming off the bench had 20. Jordan Wright kept his double-figure scoring streak alive the most unique way by making 10 free throws before he finally got a late three-pointer. But that's up to 18 games now. Just a good performance all the way up and down the bench. And defensively, you're right. They were very good in that game. And that was a huge win now going into a tough week at Tennessee and against Alabama here Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Another one footnote to put on the game and the win on Saturday. Todd Polite sent this to me in the waning moments of that game. It tied the second largest LSU margin of victory. And these two teams have played basketball 78 times, 68 times as SEC foes, but the second largest margin of victory for the Tigers over Arkansas in a basketball game. The first, by the way, give credit to our buddy John Brady, his 2003 squad beat Arkansas 85-56 in the SEC tournament there in the Superdome.
But, so that would make this tied for the largest regular season
that's right.
margin.
Yes, there you go. See, make a note of that. See, you're right. But anyway, Kent said it. They'll be playing at Tennessee 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Tough team, you know, a Tennessee team that frankly, Rick Barnes, since he's been there, Kent, I mean, they've been known to play defense. That's what they do. Offense over the years have been good, not so good, and they just kind of squeeze the life out of you. Not the case this year with Connect, second leading scorer in the SEC. I mean, they hung over 100 against Kentucky in that big win on Saturday. So, tall challenge. And then the weird anomaly, second anomaly in the schedule, that LSU's playing an opponent for the second time in 2 weeks. They did it against A&M, and now they'll do it against Alabama coming up on Saturday. That one an early tip again at 11 o'clock. It was a bad weekend all the way around for Razorbacks here in South Louisiana. And we mentioned the big win by LSU basketball, but how about the record-setting performance on Friday night, LSU gymnastics? You had a battle of number 7 LSU, or is it number 7 or number 5?
Arkansas was number 7.
LSU number 5.
Right.
So you have a top 10 matchup, and frankly, when all was said and done, it just wasn't that close in gymnastic standards. LSU had another phenomenal night inside the Maravich Center.
No, it wasn't that close because Arkansas had 2 falls in the first 4 gymnasts on the uneven bars, and ended up having to count a 9.0 in that event. And LSU, meanwhile, is just vaulting tremendously well to start the evening. And from there, it just continued on like a steamroller. And for the second straight home meet, for the second straight home meet in front of 12,000 plus at the Maravich Center. LSU scores a 198. In fact, this time a school record, 198.475. And I was sitting there, and it was just amazing to watch. I mean, it just, you know, the beam performances were great. All the things that went bad the week before at Missouri went well. And now LSU wants to try to be that consistent team that Jay Clark wants, that can take it on the road this Friday to Athens and perform that type of gymnastics. And it's gotten them now up to number 3 in the nation.
Yep, coming out number 3 this week. And you mentioned it. I think LSU, of course, dominant when it comes to floor. I think they do very good on the bars. You know what they can do in vault. And again, as you said, the improvement they made on the beam, if they get that kind of consistency, the rest of their home run hitters, so to speak, this is going to be could be a very special year in a program that has special years on a regular basis. So, again, congratulations to them on an impressive win. A couple of other sports. I said that it's a busy time in LSU athletics, and it is, but it's going to get busier because obviously men and women's basketball have been going on. Gymnastics got started in January. You got track and field underway.
It's women's golf is playing in Puerto Rico, believe it or not, Chris. They're leading. They're leading after 2 days as we tape on Monday, so final round tomorrow and a chance for a great start to their spring season.
We're covering the wrong sports, Kent. We could be in Puerto Rico, not in Knoxville this week. You got softball and baseball, by the way, which is coming up very shortly as well. We'll add that mix to the show as well. So a lot of things going on, and that's why we're glad you stop in. We try to run down all of it. Did we get our list, Kent, in this first segment?
I think we got pretty much.
All right, Harrison, we got anything else before we – again, Matt Frakes is going to join us coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk football, nutrition, as well as overall athletic nutrition here at LSU. But before we go to break, Harrison's got something he wants to add to the show. And normally I don't let Harrison – you know, he's so important behind the ones and twos. But we thought, Kent, this thing was – this beautiful picture was found. And the staff here believed – this had to be blown up, had to be framed, and it needs to find a prominent spot, really, in the athletic building, but certainly in your office. It is you and legendary Coach Dale Brown in,
I'm not even going to ask where you found this.
Well, it just shows you the relationship and how well beloved that Kent Lowe is, not only by Dale Brown, but every coach he's worked with and everybody that he works with, including Harrison and myself. So that picture with you and
maybe
Coach Brown.
Maybe just to go up at the new radio studio.
Yeah, there you go. But it just goes to show you, Coach Brown was showing you the appreciation that all of us have for Kent Lowe. So there you go. Anything to say? Speechless?
I think it's time for a commercial break.
Right, let's go to a commercial break. All right, we'll do so. When we come back, Dr.
You're
Matt Frakes
Harrison
going to join us right after this on Play by Play. Welcome back on this week's Play by Play presented by our friends at The Advocate. As we told you, we were going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little nutrition. We're going to talk about how we fuel the greatest student athletes in the country here at LSU. And to help us do that, we've got Dr. Matt Frakes, who's assistant AD sports nutrition for LSU athletics. And Dr. Frakes, great to have you on. First time on the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. And again, congratulations on all the success. And when I hear coaches talk, and when I hear student athletes talk, they talk about one of the differences at LSU is the nutrition program. And I know you've got a big hand in shaping that. So congratulations.
I appreciate you, Ken. Chris, thank you, man.
You know, there's a lot of things we can get into. We've talked about this holistic approach that being around Coach Brian Kelly, he talks about it all the time. I work with Matt McMahon. I work with Jay Johnson. Kent works with a number of head coaches. They all use that now as part of the overall, you know, story to potential student athletes about what is offered here. And then once they arrive here, it's a big part of what the student athlete does. How different is that mindset from coaches and players to say 5 years ago, 10 years ago? How much has that grown as far as the approach that everybody takes, that you've got to take care of your body to perform at its peak?
I mean, well, each department has elevated too because of that, you know. So With that being said, it's more so that we are now looking at it from a 30,000-foot view rather than everyone just in their individual silos and saying, only my job and my job alone. Now we have to look at how our jobs actually impact every single, you know, facet of the game, every single direction, every single coaching scheme, every single player's health and well-being, just every single area and tier of how we go about it. So over the past five to 10 years, we're starting to find more roles and exactly starting to develop more on exactly what our jobs are as far as the nutrition in that field in a sense. And then now looking at it in a sense of how nutrition affects every single area on a global scale.
You know, when I'm around Coach Brian Kelly, one of the things that stands out to me is, and we've had a number of staff from football come on here in different areas, all talking about technology.
Yeah.
And what's the latest, what's the greatest, and that LSU is always pushing the envelope and people are following what LSU is doing. For you, having come with Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, I got to imagine being around that type of head coach, number one, is got to be a thrill for you, because that allows you to go out and learn from others and see what's going on over here and there and maybe making it part of your own kind of mixture. But that when you have a head coach that says, go out there and find me the latest and greatest so that we are not following, we are leading, that's got to be thrilling. It just personally is in your career.
Yep. I mean, trying to please him is also another challenge. So that's something to where, you know, it's more so of he has a true understanding of exactly what our jobs are supposed to be. But he wants us to be creative and also articulate in a great way of how our jobs are to affect his team. So with that being said, man, like it's something to where now, like, we have to make sure that we're always finding that 1% to make us better and to elevate. So that means find out what is it that we're not doing, what are the holes, and then make sure that we are successfully continuing to complete, not only fill those holes, but see how can we also patent it down and make sure that there's another layer we can add to it.
I know one of the greatest things that this athletic department has done in the last several years is the performance center over at football.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I see what it's done for you folks, being able to not only teach but be there to watch what the athletes eat and all. But I also see the excitement now from, like, my basketball team, from other sports, of they want to be there. It's not a chore to walk over to football ops and have lunch or dinner, where it used to be, I'll get something, I'm not going over. You know, in the past, at other setups and all. I mean, that has really been a game changer, I think, in the overall program at LSU for athletes.
I appreciate that. So we are just trying to find a way how to amplify Chef Mike's and his entire culinary staff, amplify, you know, the culture of what it is to be in Louisiana, and make sure that's in our meals and our menus. So the other thing with that being said is that not only amplify that his voice of how the menu is, but we got to make sure that we're having a lifestyle change for our student athletes too. So now we're trying to make sure that, like, our young men and women are making the right choices, to be consistent with making those choices, and then they're keeping the same times to have optimal performance and recovery and what that actually means. So we're tightening down our education around that and let them know, like, you can also pay respect to our culture in Louisiana, eat well, and also the food that is healthy doesn't have to be gross, nasty, disgusting, terrible, not flavored, not seasoned.
There's a word I don't think we've had on the podcast before. We've had several others, but I don't believe gross has been used yet.
But Docky, you bring that up. I mean, I grew up in Eastern Kentucky and lived in South Carolina, Georgia before making my way to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I know you grew up in Ohio, got your undergrad at Bowling Green. Got a little taste of the deeper South, I know, with your time at Ole Miss, finishing up your PhD, and then some time at Louisiana Lafayette. But to me, that is key.
Yes.
Because when I listen to the staff at the Performance Center, they talk about we can create the food that the world loves.
Right.
Coming to Louisiana. That's why they come to South Louisiana, is for the food. And yet make it not only taste good, as you said, but also healthy and get the proper nutrients that these student athletes want. So those young men and women from Louisiana love it. And then I got to believe the folks from out of state who come here, they got to love it too because it's the first time they get to eat this type of cuisine.
They're the easiest people to please because they finally got some flavor to their food. Any of our transfers in mid-years, oh, man, Doc, yeah, this is way better than what we had over there no matter where they come from. So,
now, I mentioned you got your PhD in nutrition and I think hospitality management at Ole Miss. Did you see at that time that this is where sports and nutrition was going? And you know, you can give me the timeline, but what was the interest that you said, you know what, I can pair these two together, sports and nutrition? Because, again, 2010, 2012, I don't know how many people, again, on the outside, put those two together. It was just like feed them something and then get them out there in the gym and get them in shape.
Yeah, I would say it's honestly before that. So when I lived back home in Columbus, so I was actually working as a clinical dietitian, but then also I was contracted and helped some of my friends that came back home to train in the off season, made their food for them, and then also trained a couple of the guys as well in their off season. So I had a better perspective of what's going on in that sense. And it kind of put that together when I became a dietitian. Like, okay, you have to marry the two. You have to bridge the two. Like, you have to do both synonymously. So with that, now going to Ole Miss, that was my first basically almost full-time position, if you will, working with baseball. So when I was able to see the footprint in the day-to-day and then also understand what it means to be an athlete at that level and what the demands were, it was easy because a sense of, like, I remember the times when I was an athlete, my friends playing in the league, everything as well, them tell me about as far as their complications, what problems they have, my own personal complications and problems when it comes to making sure that I put the right things in my body to make sure my body feels great on a subjective level. Then at Ole Miss, it just became just easier. And I had great mentors there too, with Kate Calloway and Dr. Valiant, with Dr. Valiant being one of the first ones to kind of bring that sports dietetics kind of realm there. And them kind of showing me the rope on the football perspective and continue to help them and help Kate there to fuel those players there. But then also from the teams that I had responsibilities for, between track and field, supporting volleyball, soccer, supporting baseball with that being my baby, having them and then making sure that I understand each energy system of each game and knowing how to actually support their health and performance.
You know, And I'm going to kind of use a general example and then kind of swing it into football a little bit. But, I mean, I see an athlete in basketball like a Jalen Reed, Chris, who has transformed his body completely from his freshman to sophomore season. A lot of that's strength and condition. A lot of it's nutrition. Several factors, but obviously he has made himself into a much better basketball player. I watch Kayla Lawson, who's over the basket, who works with the basketball team. Yeah. And, I mean, I see her trying to urge some of those guys who are very picky eaters to maybe have a little more of this that they like, you know, and those type of things. And it is kind of, I'm sure with all the football players you have, very much a balancing act because you do have those picky eaters you need to push a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you have those others who maybe you wish they were a little more picky when they ate, and don't overindulge. So it's got to be kind of a balancing act with a lot of different players.
Yes, sir. That's why relationships are key. You have to have relationships, especially being down here. We value relationships. That's one thing I say about LSU is that relationships is everything when it comes to getting anything done, and then also just the family atmosphere that we need to have with our players for them to actually run through a wall for you, you know, for them to play for you. So the relationships that you have to and develop, it takes time. And over time, those players will start caring about their nutrition and feeling themselves after they feel that, you know, Doc cares, Kayla cares, Lindsay cares, Rihanna cares, Lajarde, Michelle, like, we all care. Like, we're here for you. And we know your background. We know what you're having complications with and supporting you and guiding you through that.
I was thinking back, Chris, like when I was in grad school here, 79 to 82. By the way, isn't it ironic a fat guy is doing this interview with the nutritionist here? But anyway, I digress.
For those who are on podcast, they wouldn't know, Ken, if you didn't tell them.
Oh, they probably know. They've seen me enough. But anyway, back to the point. 79 to 82, I was in grad school here. I mean, pregame meals back then, everybody thought you got to have a big steak, you got to have a baked potato. I mean, it was a standard everywhere, NFL everywhere. It's amazing to see how that has all changed and what now is realized as the best fuel to get you ready for competition.
Yep, you have to respect the speed of digestion and absorption. Because also with that anxiety that they have trying to mentally prepare for competing at the highest level, then that also impacts the ability to digest and absorb food as well. So you have to put things in front of them that they're going to digest and absorb very quickly and also allow them to have a healthy body. But you can't just start that day at pregame meal. It leads into the whole week and days before.
I always hear the term, Chris, from Coach McMahon, hydrate. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, you always hear that, and I'm sure it's from every coach, but, I mean, I just know Coach McMahon, hydrate, get your rest, all those things combined,
yep,
you know,
lead into. We hear it all the time. Yeah. When we're on the road, whenever practice is up, he'll say, you know, pregame meals at 3 o'clock, but remember immediately after this, hydrate. Dr. Matt Frakes, assistant AD of sports nutrition, our guest this week on Play by Play. And I'm glad that Kent brought up Kayla Lawson, who I get to work with in both men's basketball and baseball. And I have thanked her personally a number of times because, to the point we made earlier, some of the food we now have pregame, some of the food we have after games on the bus and on the plane, really that level has risen just dramatically in the last 3, 4, 5 years compared to when it used to be, here's everybody a pizza. You know, it's she does a marvelous job, as do your entire staff. Getting back to football a little bit, you know, one of the things Coach Kelly said when he got here was, again, he had to go replenish a roster. Mm-hmm. That was job number one. But he also said after year one that, hey, we're still – getting guys to understand why they do what they do. And he understood that some people were going to ask, why do we do this? Yep. He said, we're getting to a point now where that's not being asked as much because we've got returning players who have been through it. They can serve as kind of an extension of the coaching staff. This is what expected, whether it's practice, recovery, nutrition. From your standpoint, now going into year number three, although you're going to have roster turnover every single year, are you getting a sense, to Kent's point, that the guys now in the program kind of understand what's expected? Because we've asked the same of the strength and conditioning staff that have been on the show, from those who work in the psychology department and mental health. They're all starting to see that, hey, this is what we do and this is how we do it. Do you find that's getting better and better as the year goes on?
1,000%. This team is becoming a player-led team, so they are holding each other accountable. And they are letting each other know that the decisions that they make will have ramifications. If you are not available to compete at your highest level, we don't have time to lose and we don't have time to play. So the accountability within our team has risen to another level this year as well, to where expectations, they have to be met. And there's no excuses behind it as well. You have the resources available to you. We are showing you exactly what the blueprint is. Now you have to make the decision. You have to choose that path and that pathway so that way we can compete at the highest level day in and day out and recover at the highest level day in and day out.
What about, and he mentioned recovery, post-practice recovery. Mm-hmm. That almost seems as important as fueling up for the competition. It almost seems like one of the more important times for you folks to get these athletes back up anything they lost, electrolytes, whatever, sodium, whatever, during practice. Of course, back in the old days, as I say, it was salt tablets and things like that. But now there are a lot of electrolytes and things like that and products like Body Armor and specialty water drinks that allow a lot of the fluids to be returned as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. How much of an involvement are you folks in getting that to the athletes and their reception of it?
I would say that we're 100% involved in everything that they do when it comes to that, especially in the immediate acute stage. So their decisions, their choices, we control what the controllables within that building, correct? So that means that we have to put around them and have access to them the best of what's going to give their bodies, as you just said, what's going to help them recover, replenish, rehydrate, and then make sure that we're repairing whatever the damage that we just did, because that's all practice and training is doing. It's causing a breakdown, so we got to build them back up. So everything that we have is strategically put in there after we do our assessments. I mean, we do our lab assessments. We find out if any guys have sickle cell trait or anything like that at all whatsoever. We find out who are very salty sweaters and making sure what is the actual concentration of that sweat. So we know exactly the timeline of what they need to consume from fluid and from food as well, because without having that adequate food in there and having adequate carbohydrates in there, sugar in there, they're not going to actually retain and absorb that water. So we have to strategically put that stuff in there while their bodies are trying to recover, because at the same time, your gut is sent, you're having blood flow not sent to your gut at that time, it's sent to the body to repair and replenish. So the gut is now trying to handle, it can only handle what it can handle at that time. So appetite is down. So we got to put things in front of them that's appeasing to them, but then also that has a science behind it that's strategically replenishing and repairing them at the minutes, seconds, and hours after they get done with that session.
And it's a continual thing, right? You've got to, that night, as the evening goes on, you've still got to keep putting fluids in yourself to hydrate, to be ready to go at a tough practice the next day, whether it's early, late, whenever.
Yep, I try to tell them that their bodies are still repairing 48 to 72 hours after your session and practice. So because you don't have time to just sit there and just rest, your rest is in your sleep and your rest is in your nutrition and your rehydration. That's where your rest is coming in. So your body's repairing within those 2 to 3 days. So you don't have time to not make the right decision.
And I know, even though it's not nutrition, sleep is a very important part mm-hmm. of the equation to get ready for your next event.
Yes, sir, but that's something there that we always have going to have a challenge of in these college play. Because I remember being in college myself, yep. Like, sleep? Man, I can do this. I only had 2 hours of sleep, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and knock this out. I got you, coach. Don't even worry about it.
That's right.
But, hey, that's something that we're going to continue harping on and educating about. But, these kids, man, you feel like you're invincible at this stage.
Dr. Matt Frakes, again, our guest this week. Fascinating stuff on the nutrition side of what fuels the top student athletes in the country here at LSU. We talk to the strength staff, and again, as a student athlete these days, I mean, if you're an athlete at a Power 5 school, there's really no time off. There's little pockets of time to go spend with your family and friends, but for the most part, you're pretty much locked in to preparing for the next season, preparing for the next game. There's always something coming up.
Yeah.
But the strength guys will always tell us, hey, look, we let them go away for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They get a little break after maybe the bowl game. Then they come back and we start ramping up to spring football or after spring football, they get a little bit of time. And they always say, we're always interested to see what comes back when they are not inside the building 24 hours a day. I have to imagine, and I imagine there's a lot of people out there thinking the same thing listening. Do you guys have that same issue? Are you finding that it's getting better, or do you come in and go, all right, guys, we got to start back at ground zero?
It's getting better. So I will tell you, it is getting better. Guys are not coming back as malnourished, deflated, and looking sunken in and looking just dry and just looking terrible. They're actually looking a lot better, well-rested and everything as well. But the other issue is that now we're having still a lot more transfers and mid-years come in that you don't know what they had access to and what their resources was. So you're trying to also start from a foundational level with them as well, that even though they may be seasoned, you're trying to repair them and you're trying to figure out exactly how their body is and what's a baseline level for them. And so that way they can be better than what they were coming in. Yes, we're seeing that.
All these new players, it's building that new relationship with all these guys. But I, as you said, it would seem like because of the returning players who have been through all this and kind of leading the way, that it would help move things along easier for the new guys.
Yes, sir. When it's a player-led team, it's so much easier because they are they're leaders in themselves. They're leaders in that locker room. And not only does it take for us to educate and build that relationship, but those players, like, they have to, because they're around them, they're around each other, you know, all the time. So when they're around each other, they can, you know, be likely to have more influence on them and the decisions that they make outside that building. So and if they have their heads on straight and what they're doing day to day, the other players have no choice but to line up with it and get to it. Because if they don't, they'll essentially be fed to the wolves and they won't make it.
Well, again, it's fascinating stuff, you know, and Kent said it best. I mean, the performance center over there, when you go inside of it and you see the staff, you see what they're able to come up with, and they do it on a daily and weekly and monthly and year-round basis. It is really an impressive operation. And again, all of the success that we are seeing at LSU, and I think many would argue at this time, Doctor, that we're blessed that we're living at a time where,
yes,
where so many of the teams are competing not just for conference championships, but as it's expected at LSU, national championships. And the fact that this is a big part of it. Again, it's not by accident. All of these things have to come together. They have to work congruently together to make it happen. And you and your staff are a big part of it. And it's got to be great. Again, I hate to repeat it, that you're at a place that puts a value on not what only you and your staff do, but the mental health side, the physical strength and conditioning side, obviously the technology side with VR and all the things that are that we've learned about over the last year or so. Again, just congratulations to you and your staff.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we're enjoying as fans. Kent and I work here, but we're fans number one, and everybody who's listening or watching, we get to enjoy this success because of the work you and your staff does.
Appreciate you. We're not done yet. I feel like we're just still getting started. Like, there's so much more we can still improve. We're going to keep improving as much as we can. And even after we cap it out, we're going to get better than that. So.
Well, that's why it's exciting, Kent.
Well, I mean, I would and from what you're saying, I would assume there's new products, new technology,
always.
New things developing all the time in this business, I would assume.
Always. And that's why you got to have a very, you know, smart team around you that are very not only knowledgeable but have a passion in the direction that they're in, because then they can also – the communication has to be key, because then you will have a true understanding of which each piece has, how it affects that, and then also what technology you bring and how it affects each – department, you know, so we have to have that communication across the board. And then that, like, for us, I believe we do a phenomenal job, especially with our sports science and showing and seeing each way of how each one of our departments, but showing it in the visual so that way the players can understand what does all this data means, what does you collecting this information mean, from my weight, from my labs, from as far as how fast I am, from my power outputs, from as far as just how my reaction time, from everything, like even Jack Marucci's doing from innovation, like all that comes together. So communication has to be key, because that's a beautiful part of it. Because once you do that, then you start actually showing you don't just do the technology and have the technology just to have it. The players understand why it's there.
Wow. And that's why they go and take advantage of it. Dr. Frakes, no doubt about it. I've heard Brian Kelly say on his show multiple times when we've talked about staff members, he says you're the best in the business. And based on the results, nobody can argue with him. But certainly want to thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule before you get ramped up with spring football to come join us a little bit. And we'll hopefully have you on the show again real soon, maybe before the start of the season. You can tell us all the great eating habits the team has.
Better now than what it was. Yeah, because right now we're fixing a lot right now.
Doc, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate
you.
Y'all.
All right.
Go Tigers.
That's going to wrap things up for us this week on Play by Play. Thanks to Harrison Valentine for putting it all together, and Dr. Matt Frakes for joining us, and the illustrious Kent Lowe for doing all the heavy lifting here. Until next week, we'll be back for another show. Until then, this is Chris Blair saying so long, everybody, and go Tigers.